This is KCUR 89.3. For many people who've lived through oppression or violence in foreign countries, Kansas City is the promised land. Every year, hundreds of refugees resettle in the area and start new lives. But starting over has become increasingly difficult for many of these newcomers, as well as for the organizations who are helping them.
Y con la diabetes solo es importante que cuida bien de los pies, solo checarlos a ver si hay...
In the exam rooms at Samuel Hugh Rogers Health Center in Kansas City, nurse practitioner Greg Nurenberg sees a lot of health problems other providers don't.
How did you have this injury? Like, oh, I fell off a camel or I got bit by a lion.
Nurenberg specializes in refugee health care, and he gives many patients their first checkup in the United States. Many have fled violence or persecution, and the stress and trauma of their previous lives, plus the shock of coming to the U.S., can still be palpable.
Their blood pressure can, yeah, show that they're anxious. They're doing a physical exam and you realize they're like profusely sweating and or like kind of shaking a little bit.
The ultimate goal of organizations like Samuel Rogers or Jewish Vocational Service is getting refugees employed and self-sufficient. And programs like these have been pretty successful at finding them jobs. Male refugees are employed at a higher rate than most U.S.-born men, and employment among female refugees is about equal to those born in the U.S., according to the Migration Policy Institute, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank. But these kinds of success stories are becoming more infrequent among newer refugee groups. Fartoon Mari and her husband Ali Shamoon are Somali refugees who arrived in the U.S. with their children in December and now live in northeast Kansas City. Mari describes their life in Somalia as one of constant fear. The country has been in chaos for decades, rocked by civil war, genocide, and recently the murderous militant Islamist group Al-Shabaab. Mari's sister was killed in the violence, and the couple now raises her son alongside their own. For decades, most Kansas City refugees came from places like Cuba, Vietnam, Russia, and other Soviet bloc countries, and were often well-educated. But in the mid-90s, the U.S. refugee strategy started shifting to help people escape some of the world's most violent hotspots. Today, refugees arriving in Kansas City are overwhelmingly coming from places like Somalia, Myanmar, and the Democratic Republic of Congo.
These are some of the poorest countries in the world. And because the countries are so poor, a lot of that has to do with the kind of background that will make it more difficult for them to integrate here in the U.S.
Randy Capps is a director of research with the Migration Policy Institute, which recently published a study on the long-term outcomes of different refugee groups. He says that many of these new waves of refugees, who've sometimes lived for decades in war or refugee camps, are at a disadvantage compared with earlier groups because of their lower levels of education or literacy. The sheer diversity of the new groups can create problems as well. As Galen Turner of Jewish Vocational Service explains, they're not just coming from different countries like Myanmar, but also from many groups within those countries that have their own languages and cultures.
If you are Karen, you speak Karen or Burmese usually, and you're of one ethnicity. If you're Karen-ni, you're of an utterly different ethnicity, and you don't even speak a language that's understandable. To us, this gets very confusing because we've had some Karen-ni arrive as Karen and then had no way to speak to them.
Newer groups are also arriving in a post-recession U.S. when it can be harder to climb out of the lower economic rungs than before. As recently as 2000, refugee families who had been in the U.S. for 20 years showed no economic difference with native-born families. But Cap says that's changed in the 21st century.
The refugees who've entered more recently, when we looked at them at the 2010 data, weren't doing quite as well. They'd still seen their incomes rise over the long period that they'd been in the U.S., but not rise as quickly.
To reach the level of achievement of earlier groups, Cap says newer refugees could use extra help with their English and job skills. And it may be time for a new approach to issues like depression and PTSD, which are especially common among people who've lived through war.
Mental health is a little trickier because it's cultural. It's not the same for everybody. And finding people who are trained in mental health but also can speak the right languages is very difficult.
And first, allow us to welcome you to America, and we are here to help you assist with your health care needs.
On a recent afternoon, Samuel Rogers care coordinator Fatima Muhammad gives a refugee orientation to a room filled with a few parents and lots of children. Children make up at least half of many of the new refugee groups, and Galen Turner says their future almost by definition holds brighter prospects than their parents.
I think the first generation never feels at home here, but the second generation, usually if they're young enough, speak English without an accent. They grow up with American ideas. I don't ever think that the parents reach that level of comfort.
Future refugees will probably also benefit from these early waves putting down roots. Experts say as a community becomes more established, it's more likely that new members will thrive. Alex Smith, KCUR News.